D1, number 6B.
Let's see that the highest level is science itself. I say this because on the chart which you have, this highest level is perhaps not indicated so clearly as John Dolly might have done it if he had stayed a little bit longer with us. Because the chart which you have in front of you, he made just a little bit before that. But he indicates it also on the introductory remark to the chart, where he says, this chart illustrates, can you see in the top of the chart, how various combinations of the synonymous terms for God are accentuated when spiritual thinking is operating from the standpoint of divine science, absolute Christian science, or Christian science. The three metaphysical standpoints of the one all-inclusive science. So we can look at it like this, that either we take the liberty and write above the chart, above divine, on the left-hand side you have divine science. If we write on the top of the chart, science itself, perhaps. Or we could see, perhaps, that if we would turn the chart instead from a flat chart into a round one, like this, so that it is all-inclusive, then this would be science itself. Science which includes with it itself all the other levels of science. Science itself is the highest sense insofar as it does not exclude the other levels, divine science or absolute Christian science or Christian science, but includes it. Now, no matter if we have seen this already clear and definite and final or not, it really doesn't matter so much, but to see what it means. So, what I will do is first to go through those levels of science itself, then write down on the left-hand side to divine science, then to absolute Christian science, and then to Christian science. Can you see the first column vertical on the left side? And I want first to give an overall tone of what these different levels are and how they distinguish themselves from each other. Because these terms are all synonymous, that is, they all refer to science, each one of them. But we know that synonymous terms in every application mean that there are terms which in one way mean the same, but in some different aspect they have specific qualifications and therefore characterize differently the various expressions. So that which is common to them all is science. What is differing, that is what I want to bring out. What I would like to do with you right now when I go through this, is this. That I would like to invite you to forget everything. To forget yourself as a human, to forget the world, to forget the age in which we live, to forget husbands and wives and children, and family, to forget the problems, the business, everything. Just to sit blank, so that in that book which is just blank, we can write the truth of being, our true being. And deduce from the highest level now what being is. This is very different from the Bible story and from the Christian Science story. Because the Bible story is trying to get man out of his mess and showing the way out. Now, having reached the top, we can start from the top and see how does the divine principle know being. So we are not looking at it as how can we save ourselves from the mess we are in? But it's a pure vision which says, I am anyway only interested in that which is. That which is. Now what is? And so I would like to start with science itself. Now, are you blank? Right, blank. No age, no problems, no world to save, no material world, being. That which cannot be blown up. Every star once a while is being blown up. Being. So let's start right away with being, with science itself. What is the level of science itself? It's there where it says there is just the infinite one. There's just one capitalized. That is the only fact, that is the only reality, that is all there is, and there is nothing else but that infinite one. That infinite one is a being, an I am, an infinite moving being, nothing static about it. That infinite one is moving as the one being, the Lord our God is the only Lord. The one being is the only being, it's the infinite one being. Isn't it comforting? Calm. That infinite being is a principle. It's not chaotic, it's a principle. And that principle, therefore, is an infinite principle. It conveys everything. It pervades everything. Because it's himself, it's the one. And this infinite principle has an infinite idea. See, I deduce more and more. This infinite principle has an infinite idea about itself. And is so one with that infinite idea that it is itself. This infinite principle, or this infinite one, is indivisible. It cannot split apart. There is no division in it. It's indivisible, and it operates unspent. It's an indivisible whole. There is no sense of duality in it, no sense of opposites in it. Principle and its idea are not two separate entities. Principle includes its infinite idea, its infinite expression, its infinite reflection. This infinite one really reflects on itself constantly. It is conscious of itself constantly. It knows only itself, and it knows itself in its wholeness and infinitely. From everlasting to everlasting, this infinite one is ever operative. It's a tremendous dynamic of being in this infinite one. Lots happens. Lot of things happen. It operates and operates and operates by itself. From everlasting to everlasting, this one says, I am principle and I operate out of myself, out of the authority of myself. And as I am the only authority, it's the only authority that is real. And I reflect on that authority, I reflect on that infinite operation, I'm conscious of that infinite operation ever going on. From everlasting to everlasting, there is nothing going on in this infinite one about which I'm not conscious of. I, principle, naturally. Principle is not conscious of. This infinite one has an infinite idea, it has an infinite purpose, an infinite aim. It has set out to fulfill an infinite fulfillment, an infinite purpose, which is perfect as a principle itself. And so within this infinite one, there is an infinite calculus of ideas constantly going on. It's a calculus that is always right. So that I begin to see that from that level, every manifestation of that infinite is a manifestation of the infinite one. That all spiritual activity is an activity of the spirit of this infinite one. That every idea is an activity not just of a single idea, but that the activity of every idea is the activity of the infinite one. So that I know that the power of an idea is the power of the infinite one, that the substance of the idea is the substance of the infinite one, that the blessing of an idea is the blessing of the infinite one. It's unlimited. It's infinite in every way and shape and form. So that there is nothing going on outside this infinite one. There is nothing ever happening which is not within this one, which is not within the dynamics of the principle of being. This infinite one, which is the principle of being, proves itself. It has its infinite proof within itself. I think if we begin to think clearer and clearer, we not even say that. Because proof is only necessary for the human mind. But here we have no human mind yet. It's still principle. So principle does not just prove itself, it evidences itself. It has infinite evidence of itself. It has infinite expression of itself. Nothing can stop any expression of this infinite. And so this infinite principle operates according to principle-like nature. Therefore, it operates according to scientific nature. It operates in the nature of law, and order, and rule, and system. It operates according to divine methods, in divine forms, and in the divine plane. This infinite is the infinite one. It's not just the one, it's infinite one, and this infinite is classified because it has order. And so the infinite one includes every category of spiritual thought. The Infinite One includes the categories of the spiritual thought, of the days of creation, of the numerals of infinity, of the seven synonymous terms, of the four orders, of the four sides of the holy city, of all the planes of Christian Science, Absolute Christian Science, Divine Science. It's just all-inclusive in its categories. The Infinite One reflects on itself. He's constantly reflecting on itself. And with reflecting, I mean not optical reflection, I mean thinking, knowing, conscious, being conscious about itself. The Infinite is constant, that's the great thing, that the Infinite is constantly thinking, though he hasn't a brain, knowing himself, thinking about himself, being conscious about himself. That's why there is infinite progression, because the Infinite never repeats itself. So the consciousness which the Infinite has about itself is infinitely progressive, never repetitive. We have the new sense of science that goes forward. That's perhaps, in a way, the level of science itself. What is the level of divine science? We still are blank humanly, but we have already written one page into our book of life, science itself. But then, when we have been considering this, then something says to us, but what is the Infinite? What is this infinite principle? In which nature does it express itself? And the moment you ask that, we come to the level of divine science, of divine science. Because we ask after the divine nature of this science. We ask after the nature of divinity, after the nature of being, and that is divine science. In divine science, therefore, this infinite principle which we have considered is interpreting now the divine nature of this principle. And this divine nature of principle is life, truth, and love. So new terms are introduced from this principle. The divinity is life, truth, and love. These are the realities of divine science. How does Mr. Dawley define divine science? He says, it's the one infinite principle. See, that's the standpoint of science itself. The one infinite principle, including within itself, the divine ideal or Christ. So the moment we ask after the nature of that about which principle is conscious of, then we come to the level of divine science. Then we begin to learn something more, namely the nature, the ideal of this principle. It says the ideal of this divine principle is life, truth, and love. He also defines divine science as the realization that there is one infinite being, one principle. You see, he always starts from science itself, conscious of itself as what? As life, truth, and love. So the moment we are no more satisfied with just seeing that there is what the Infinite One, but we are asking ourselves, what is the nature of divinity, of this being? and investigate this nature, we are on the level of divine science. We consider now the ideal which this principle has. Can you see? Science itself just said there is an infinite principle who has an infinite idea. But when we ask, what then is this infinite idea? Then we must explain it, and this explanation is already divine science and says, all right, it's an ideal. And what is this ideal? This ideal is that this principle just is conscious of itself as one life, as one truth, as one love. And I begin to know something more about the nature of the Infinite One. So, in divine science, where we consider the ideal of this principle, but because this divine principle is one, therefore the ideal is just one. And so we only have here a sense that there is one life, one truth, one love. The sense of oneness pervades through the level of Christian science. Whenever we think of oneness, not of the infinite one, but of oneness in any aspect, we think on the level of divine science. So, all that has to do with perceiving that every idea is in God, lives and moves and has is being in God and not isolated. Every concept which brings back the idea into God as one with God, that's divine science. Every level of thought which really sees that an idea can never stand by itself, but reflects always the infinite, and therefore is one with the infinite, is thinking in terms of oneness, divine science. We know the symbol which the Bible gives to divine science is the city four square, the four equal sides, where each side has its equal values and stands against the other as in equality. Therefore, it's just the one life which says, I'm one, just as truth says, I'm one truth, just as love says, I'm just one love, and one principle love, so that we have that fourfold unity of which Mrs. Eddy speaks. Can you see where we have come from? First we had the level of science itself as the infinite one. What is the nature of this infinite one? It's a fourfold unity of that oneness. One life, one world, one truth, one Christ, one love, one Christianity, one principle love, one divine science. It is a oneness within the infinite one. That's divine science. Oh, I have to stop here, because we have only a few minutes left. But only one sentence I want to say. Now, I will go through that chart over and over and over. Over and over. The first time I go through it, it may seem to be abstract glory. But thought acquaint itself intelligently with God, and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus, and it will be concrete glory. And no more abstract glory. just be loving to yourself. Just take it the abstract glory first, as much as you can. But you can be as sure as 2 and 2 are 4 that as we go on, and I see I have to take the next weekend for it too. Yes. I only have covered about a fourth of my notes up to now. So that gives you the peace, you see, that you will not miss anything which when you don't understand me right now. You won't. It's the drop that drops in, and many drops, how you say, hallow the stone, we say. Where away the stone? Hollow. Oh, yes. Whatever it is, that's it.